for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday morning service of October the 2nd, 1999, at the Feast of Tabernacles Men's Retreat, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Brogdon of Jacksonville, Illinois, is the speaker of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
And it's not finished yet. We had some truth last night. Amen? You know, if people can get an understanding that the body of Christ is a spiritual body, isn't it? Everybody's looking to the natural. And that's the problem. They look at the natural too much for these feasts. But it's not natural, it's a spiritual. And the body of Jesus Christ is a spiritual body. It's a body of unity. We're bound together. And who's at the head? Jesus is the head, isn't he? And guess what? His life flows through me, in me, and it should flow out of me to others in the body. Amen? Every member should be allowing that life of Jesus to flow in and out of them. So that he can come in. You know, who's our great high priest? Anybody know? All right, you do know that. Jesus is our great high priest. What's his job? What was the high priest's job every day? Do you know? In the tabernacle of the wilderness, what was the high priest's job? Anybody know? Pardon me? Specifically, more so than that. What was his job? He had to go into the holy place and do something. That was in the Holy of Holies. Okay, I'll tell you. He had to go into the holy place every day, and he had to do something. He had to trim the wick on the lampstand, and he had to put fresh oil in. Hey, guess what? Jesus Christ is our high priest, and guess what his job is every day?
Trim your wick.
Trim your wick. That's deliverance, brother. That's deliverance. Every day. And then he's got to do something when he trims the wick. He's got to what? Fill you up. Put the oil in. And that's a special oil, wasn't it? And then he had to do something else. He had to go over and replenish something that was on a table, another table, table of showbread. He had to take the old bread off that was left, that was not eaten, do away with it, and put new on, didn't he? And then he had to do something else. He had to go to the altar of incense, and he had to do something there, didn't he? He had to keep the fire going. You realize that the altar of incense, the fire was started by God. God started the fire, but it was the priest that had to keep it going. Do you have a fire in your life for Jesus? I don't know. Do you? That's his job every day, to keep that fire going. Ask him to keep the fire going in you. Man, some of you look like your embers are down there a little bit. He needs to blow on you or something. Get the fire going. Yeah, he's the fireman, isn't he? He fires up. He fires us up. He keeps me fired. And this fire needs to be flowing from one member to another. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, glory to Jesus. I like the teaching on the tabernacle also. One of these days I'm going to get to the place, I've got these teachings all put together that you can see the parallel of the feast, the parallel of the tabernacle, and the parallel of the seven churches in Revelation. Whoa. They all fit. They all fit together. You can't separate them. And so we find that Jesus is coming to commune with us, isn't he? Through unleavened bread. He wants to commune with us. How many of you have communed with him lately? Don't answer that. He wants not only for you to commune with him, but he wants you to sit and be still so that he can commune with you. When you're going through a crisis in your life, who do you cry out to? Pastor? First one you should cry out to is Jesus. Go to him, tell him your dilemma, tell him what your problem is, then sit and listen. Wait for him. For he's well able to deliver you out of anything. Any situation you're in, he's well able. So unleavened bread is a living, real, genuine fellowship and communion, not only with Jesus Christ, but also with the saints. we have to recognize that you have a God-ordained ministry. God has given you each a ministry. God has given you each something to do. You have a work to do for the kingdom. Do you recognize that? Each and every one of us has a part that we must play. A brother talked about last night, he had some divine appointments on the plane trip here. God has divine appointments for us. And we're his mouthpiece. And if we don't open up, who is? Hallelujah. So we need to recognize that each and every one of us has a ministry, a God-ordained ministry in this body that Jesus is putting together. And we need to give honor to one another in meekness and humility. I thank God for what he's doing in your life. I thank God because he's using you to bring about the kingdom. Read the book this morning. We prayed this morning. We talked about what it is to have dominion and to possess. I don't believe that the body of Christ has an understanding of that. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Well, the last one is first fruits. And we know that Jesus rose. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Everybody likes Mark chapter 16, right? It's got a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good meat in there. A lot of things that the church doesn't want to acknowledge, but there's a lot of good things in there. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Jesus rose the first day of the week. Now look over in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Jesus gave us a parable here. John chapter 12, verse 24. 12 and 24, that's some good numbers. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Jesus was that corn of wheat that died, didn't he? He went into the ground. Anybody here farmers or done any farming or anything? If you put seed in the ground, you're expecting something, aren't you? So if you put a seed in, you're expecting it to produce. And it's an amazing thing to me, growing up on a farm and things, is how you can put one seed in the ground, and it'll come up, and it'll put, if you put corn in, it'll come up and have a stalk, and sometimes it has two ears on it. And those ears can be just full of more seed, amen? And so it produces, doesn't it? And if you took whatever was on those particular ears, and you planted them, they would come up and produce more. And I believe that's what Jesus wants us to do, is to die, to produce. Got quiet. Jesus wants us to die so that we may produce. We need to die to self so that we can produce Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, the first fruit, let's go over to Leviticus chapter 23. Jesus was our first fruit, right? Verse 10 of Leviticus chapter 23. "Speaking to the children of Israel, and saying unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it." So this first fruit was waved, wasn't it? And isn't it interesting that Jesus, when he arose, he told them not to touch him because he has not yet ascended, had he? He was, this is chapter 15. Hope this is not too boring for you. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 23. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. There's that first fruits coming. Pardon me? Yes, Christ. Anointed ones, huh? Lots of them? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The Lord is turning that which is dead into life. Amen. Our brother is doing that. He took the mortuary, turned that which is dead into life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a first fruit company there. Glory. The sheaf over in Leviticus was to be distinguished from the harvest. It was a forerunner, as it were. It was a sample, and it had to be weighed. Now, I don't know if any of you have taken, weighed, if you picked up a shock of wheat or barley and you weighed it, what happens? And this is right, it goes everywhere, doesn't it? Wind blows it and it goes everywhere. And it wasn't to be retrieved. You know, Passover speaks to us of the barley, the first fruits harvest. Pentecost speaks to us of the wheat harvest, the overcomers. And Tabernacles will speak to us of the fruit harvest, which we're going to get into, which is the resurrected saints in the harvest. Amen? But the sheaf was distinguished. And Jesus is very distinguished, isn't he? You know, I noticed going to other countries how they speak of Mr. Jesus. He's so reverenced there. He's Mr. to them. We don't reverence him like others in other countries. They've been pulled out of a lot of things. Amen? James 1 and 18. Verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. We're a first fruit people, aren't we? The church is. Romans 8 and 32. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And I tell you what, every one of us has been given something from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But notice that he delivered his son up. His son had to die, his sons have to die, as I said earlier to self. And he's redeemed us. Revelation 14 and 4. Tommy likes this verse. He's redeemed us. Says, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. Are you following Jesus? Are we following him, really? We say with our and consent with our hearts and our minds that we are, but are we really following him? My sheep hear my voice. Are we hearing the voice of Jesus these days? And these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found nothing. Found no guile. No guile. For they are without fault before the throne of God. You know, I had to look at that scripture and I had to say, Lord, am I without guile? You ever ask yourself these questions? You read these things in the scriptures, am I without guile? Any form of deviation from the truth is guile. Deceit. Thank God for deliverance from guile. Amen. No deceit within us. No deviation from the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, over in Leviticus 23 and 14, if you went back and read that, Israel was not to eat bread and the corn and the parched ears until the sheep was presented to the Lord. The symbolic fact of this is that the true Israel of God, the church, cannot partake of anything that is not of God. We need to partake of the true corn. Amen. And God gives us fruit, doesn't he? And we're to partake of his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life. Amen. That fruit should be evident in every believer. Hallelujah. Then we go to Pentecost. Let's get into that right quick. Pentecost and tabernacles of feasts. Pentecost is real short. First of all, we looked at these feasts. How do we look at these feasts? I'm going to ask you some questions. How do we look at them? There's three ways we look at these feasts and look at things in the Word of God. Anybody want to? Naturally, prophetically, spiritually. We got to look at them, right? First in the natural, first came the natural, then what? That which is spiritual. Amen? So we look at those. Naturally, did it happen to Israel? Prophetically, did it happen to Jesus? Spiritually, is it happening to us today, right? And we need to distinguish between these things. Amen? Hallelujah. There is a tendency today in the church to stop somewhere. When new truth comes, Glenn and Irma have been around a while. When new truth comes, and there's certain parts that stop at that new truth and don't want to go on,
they say to your face, I don't want to hear it because I don't want to be responsive.
There you go.
I said to me more than once.
Don't want to hear it because they don't want to be held responsible. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, they already are and don't know it.
They already are. Amen. But I've seen this as I've studied church history, that there's a tendency to some to stop along the way. Just like Israel. You know, those who were in the wilderness, they wanted to turn around and go back. But I like the sweet meat and all the sweets in Egypt. I don't like this manna. Manna. We have to have manna every day. Amen? But there's a tendency for us to stop. But I want to challenge all of you today. Don't stop. The Lord Jesus has more for us. More for you. Don't stop just at Passover. Don't stop at Pentecost. Go on to the fulfillment all the way through to tabernacles. There you go. Hallelujah. You know, and if you look at history, history has a way of repeating itself, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look over in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And I'm going to try to end up here real quickly. Pentecost.
Do
I have? Oh, good. I usually take a while. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Ooh, we'll get back there. Hallelujah. Let's just read this. It's good for you to read, isn't it? I want to read down to verse 7. We've already read 16 and 17, but I want to give you an understanding of these particular things. Observe verse 1 of chapter 16 of Deuteronomy. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. God has placed his name here, hasn't he? Amen. Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread with it, 7 days unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. Do you remember your new birth? You remember the day you said yes to Jesus? You remember the day that you ate that lamb? I remember. I was a young man. I remember the day I stood before the congregation and said yes to Jesus. And you know, Passover brings a freshness to me of that particular day, and it should to us, shouldn't it? Just a freshness. Remember that day? Man, things changed in your life. It did for me. Something happened. It wasn't the same. Hallelujah. Remember. Remember the day you accepted Christ. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days, neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day, neither shall, let me go back to read this, neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificed the first day at even remaineth all night until the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at the evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. 7 days shalt thou number thee, begin to number the 7 weeks 7 weeks shalt thou number thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from the such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of the freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord hath blessed thee. Can you imagine this? It's hard today, isn't it, for us as even in the church or those in the world, it's hard for us to put back anything to save for the Lord. Some do well to give their tithes. But there were these three feasts of the year that they were to bring special offerings unto the Lord. And I've seen this and experienced this, that this is a time that you bring something special, something that you've set aside for this unto the Lord, as the Lord has blessed you. And I tell you, the Lord will bless you as you keep the feast. And you bring it unto the Lord, and you give it unto Him. And you know, these special offerings were to be used by the priest. Wasn't going to the building of the houses or anything. It was to be used by the priest for their necessities. Whoa, stepping on toes there, I think, in some places. Three times a year. You know, I know one brother, he's went on to be with the Lord, but he never took anything from his church. He never took anything except on the three times of the year. They would set up a basket, and people would bring, the men and the women of the congregation would bring their special offerings unto this particular brother and place in that particular basket. And three times a year, in other words, he got three paychecks a year, but it was more than enough to get him to do the work of the Lord where God took him. That was awesome to me. I said, Lord, I want to get to that place. Three times of the year. And God blessed him supernaturally. I've never heard of such faith, have you? Three times of the year. But he did it according to God's way. And these things went to the priest, or to the man of God in that particular house. I'm going to read it. I'm just going to go. Can I get another note? I'm going to read it. I'm reading down to 17. And it says, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there.
Amen.
Woo! Rejoicing. You know, these feasts are times of rejoicing. There's only one that you lament in, really. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But the others are a time of rejoicing. Now shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Remember in the feast of Passover, unleavened bread and first fruits, remember where you came from. Remember where you're going. Hit it up. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. The corn speaks to us of something, doesn't it? Anybody want to know what the corn speaks to us of? The mature word. Corn speaks to us of the mature word. Amen? You gather in the mature word. Amen? And the wine speaks to us of what? Joy! There's that joy again. Hallelujah. New wine is good. Spiritual understanding. Amen. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy menservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase. How many of you want to be blessed? Well, every hand went up in the house. Everybody wants to be blessed, but nobody wants to do it God's way. Amazing. God has set up these things. These are perpetual. They were to never end. Why God to the end? You know, and Josephus in his writings, he was perplexed by the idea that this sect called the Christians kept the feast. He couldn't understand that. But they didn't do it with blood like the Jews did. Perplexed. You know, as historically, they kept the feast up until around 320, 324 A.D. And then, of course, the enemy came in and diluted it, and they began to keep other holidays. And they were holy days, all right. Holy days unto Satan. Days of old. Amen. No life in those days. And I don't mean to get on that particular teaching, but there are certain days you shouldn't be keeping. Period.
Right.
Boom. Null and void. You just entered in. You just brought a little leaven into the house. Hallelujah. And it says that three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. As I said earlier, if you're empty, you need to be full. Jesus Christ is your high priest, and he needs to fill you up. You need to go to him and say, Lord, I need to be trimmed and I need to be filled. You need to partake of that new wine, as the brother said. A little joy in your heart. A little joy in your life. Any of you ever danced before the Lord? You want to do that this morning? It's awesome when men of God get up and dance before the Lord. I'm serious. And I do some songs at this time of the year. We do some songs, you know, Zion songs. And we dance before the Lord. It's good. Man, it gets you pumped up. Man, you want to fight every devil there is out there. Hallelujah. It's good. Praise God. And it says, every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which he hath given thee. We need to know that God has given us something. Amen. Hallelujah. What has he given you? Has he given you new life? Amen. Has he given you a vision? Has he given you a direction in your life? You know, I find this is very interesting because most Christians, and specifically men, have no direction. If they have a family, they're supposed to take care of the family, and that's good. But God wants you to be directed in other ways. God wants to use you in your workplace. How many have ever been used in the workplace? He wants to use you out in the marketplaces. The Spirit of God, I was over in a mall a number of years back, and he'd instructed me to go walk the mall. Okay. Three women coming towards me. He says, he gave me a specific word for the woman in the middle, and she had a shirt on that said, Jesus saved. And I walked up to her as mean as I could be and said to her, do you really believe that? And she said, yes. I said, do you really believe that? Yes. I said, then get bold. Don't just wear it. Talk about it. She was a pastor's wife, I later found out. And the Lord instructed me to pray for the lady that was on her left-hand side, and I prayed for her, and the Lord healed her right there. Well, don't you know that there was a gathering that started? There were so many people there that the owner of the shop that we were in front of come up and shut his doors. And he was trembling and quaking. He didn't know what to do with it. He would walk up to his door and open up, and he would come back like this here, and he'd walk away, and he would hide. And he would come out, and he'd look, and he'd shut the doors again. He wouldn't let anybody in the store. He was that fearful. He didn't know what was going on. And I saw some other brethren come along, and I said, come over and help me pray for these people. They need Jesus. One brother was the one that really moved in evangelism. Boy, was he happy. But the end result, we did it in public. We didn't do it in private. We did it out so others could see. We prayed for people. God healed them. When you pray for people, do you expect God to heal, or do you think maybe he will? I expect even when I pray that God will do something. Hallelujah. I read it. I got information. I know that. He will. And, you know, I read something else. He says he's no respecter of persons. Look over in Acts chapter 3. I think Peter and John had information. They had something. They received something. They received something there. Hold your place in chapter 3. Chapter 2 says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I mean, they were all had one mindset. Do we have a mindset today? Are we all in one mind? Are we all in one accord? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They all spake with other tongues. That's the Pentecostal experience, isn't it? You know, if you go on reading there, it says that there were 3,000 saved in that day, wasn't there? And we read over, back over in the book of Leviticus over there, that there were some, certain ones that rebelled, weren't there, against Moses. And Moses had come off the mountain, didn't he? He'd come off the mountain, and he'd been with God, and they rebelled, and there were 3,000 died that day. But in the new Pentecost, a lot of people getting saved. Amen? The tape is finished. Okay, it is finished. Well, good, I can finish. But we find over here in Acts chapter 3, it says, now Peter and John went up and together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John go into the temple asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Was that boldness? Now, I get this picture in my mind that there was this man, Jesus, that had walked the same path. And this man being an older man, I'm sure he was sitting there. Can you agree with me on that? He must have been, hadn't he? Yet Jesus didn't do anything for him, did he? Or with him. He left a few for his disciples to kind of, for his apostles. And they fastened their eyes on him, and with boldness, and I could see this boldness, says, look on us. Can you imagine this fellow just sitting there and looking down, nobody probably had ever asked him to look up. He says, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. There's the tape. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by that right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amazing, isn't it? What happened at Pentecost? I don't think Peter and John would have done that before, do you? Something happened to you. Are all of you here baptized in the Holy Ghost? Have you had a Pentecostal experience? That's good, isn't it? Something happened that day, didn't it? What happened to you? Did you get bold? You got excited? You got bold for Jesus? What happened to it? What happened to it? Still there. One gentleman said it's still there. It needs to be there, doesn't it? We need to have that boldness. How many of you have prayed for people, laid hands on them, and saw God do miracles? Amen. That's good. That's good. The majority of you, that's good. We need to do that. We need to exercise those gifts. Amen. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to finish up here. Doesn't need to be on the tape anyway. It's just for men here, right? Mark 16, y'all know it. Hallelujah. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. We got any believers in here? Amen. These signs are for you. First thing is to cast out devils. Boy, the church has stopped that, hasn't they? Because of too much commotion. One pastor told me, he says, you know, I'd do that, but it takes too much of my time. And says, well, you're going to be judged in the judgment because you didn't do it. And in my name they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall remove the serpents or remove Satan, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. You know, I thank God for I thank God for the experience that we've had, and I've had a lot of experiences, trust me. I thank God for those experiences, but I tell you one thing that I never get tired of is getting at the feet of Jesus. I never tire of getting before Him. If you want new revelation, you want new things, get at His feet. He'll give you new things. Amen. I'd like to pray with you today, if I could. Perhaps you've never experienced the Passover lamb like you wanted to. Perhaps you still have a little leaven there that you need to get rid of. And I'm sure that this afternoon, as our brother comes and ministers, we'll all get some freedom in those areas. Amen. But there's something we need to do. We need to come together in unity. Can we do that? Can we be unified in Jesus? How many of you want to be purged yet? Amen. We all want to go on a little further into the tabernacle experience, don't we? Into the Holy of Holies. In fact, just repeat this with me. Lord Jesus, this day I come before you. And I desire to be in unity with you and in the body that you place me in. The overcomers. The first fruit company. Make us one, Lord Jesus. Purge out from us, Lord Jesus, any leaven that would defile us. And keep us from being holy. And keep us from being a pure vessel that you can use. That we may become a new lump. Rid us, Lord Jesus, of all of our carnal ways. From all of our divisive tendencies. From the chaos of doctrinal disputes. Bring us to the right doctrine. The doctrine of truth. Remove from us all hatred and variance and emulations and all strife. And restore us as a unified people into your body. Lord Jesus, that you will have a holy body without spot or wrinkle on your return. And Lord Jesus, give us your mind that we may think, that we may speak, that we may believe and understand the truths that are written in your word. Lord Jesus, direct my path to do those things which are pleasing in your sight and not my own. Lord Jesus, that I may die that you might arise. Thank you, Jesus, for trimming our wicks, for putting in new oil. Lord, I thank you for the word today that it will cause me to be a regenerated man in you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's been a blessing. I don't know why. I pray that you got something out of all this. There's a lot of meat yet, and we're just trimming the surface is all we're doing. I said something the other day. I was ministering, and this brother says, I noticed you don't go as deep or as long as you used to. And I told him, I said, you know, the people can't receive it. They've been milk-fed for so long, they can't receive the meat. And I could just see the, you know, and as I've been ministering out there, that it's not taken. I said that the Lord's really brought me back. And it's almost like, those of you who ever been in the military, it's just like basic training all over again. You know, getting the basics in, getting it down so the people can absorb it. And then later, my prayer has been that God would allow or open doors for me to go out and minister the truths of these feasts and of the tabernacle in the wilderness, and minister these things so that people can get a hold of it and they can grow up into Christ as they're supposed to. But there needs to be a foundation laid, and the foundation has to be laid. There's not been enough foundation laid in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Brother Cook. Anybody know Tommy Cook? Well, Lord has teamed us up, and it's been a privilege on my part. I first met Tommy in 1982, and when I met him, I was sitting right back over here, and he was up here ministering, and he started off, and he goes like a mile a minute, you know, through the scriptures, but everything he had, I wrote down everything, and everything he was saying, the Lord had already spoke to me 2 years before. And I had tried to tell others, and I couldn't get it out like he did. And they thought I thought I was off the wall. I thought, Lord, am I really hearing you or what? But when I met him in 82, and I prayed a prayer. I said, Lord, I want to minister with that brother one of these days. Whenever you get me ready or get him ready or get us both ready, it's your time. I want to minister. And in 1992, 10 years later, we began to minister together. And you know, there's something, brethren, about going out two by two. You know, the Lord sent them out two by two. And we're of one mind. We're of unity. We want to see the body of Christ increase. You see, we want to see I want to draw the best out in the body of Christ and to see them move up into Jesus. And that's what Tommy, that's what his desire is to bring others up to a higher realm. And we've been down here too long. We need to move up. We need to know, get some information and know who we really are in Christ. We need to step out and walk as sons of God and not as just little children. We need to be full, mature sons. Amen? And anything that comes at us, man, we're going to stand against. And when we're in unity, there's two of us in unity. The Scripture says that if you shall ask anything, any two of you shall ask anything in believing, you know the Father's going to do something, and He does things. And when two men of God go out together and they minister together, there's an anointing that I can't describe it. Glenn probably knows about it, but there's an anointing there that I've never experienced by myself. But when the two of us are there, there's a greater anointing because we're in unity and one mind and one purpose. And we were out west not too long ago, and the pastor out there said, I hope you two come in and blow our church away. That was his exact words. Well, he was looking for this new thing that was going on at that time. Well, we came in all right, and the Lord began to heal and deliver. Little bitty child, Paul was there. Little bitty child, the Lord spoke to me, and the mother and father brought him in, and I just started weeping. I couldn't stop weeping for that child. I saw the child. I didn't know there was anything, but I saw the child and started weeping. And when they turned the thing over to us, we went up And I said, the first thing I need to do, the Spirit of God spoke to me. A couple, come up here right now. I said, the Lord, I wept over your child. I don't know what the problem is. And the mother started weeping, and she said that she was giving insulin shots to the child. He wasn't even a year old. They didn't expect the child to live past 7 years old. Now, there's something wrong. And I said, well, I know Jesus can heal your child. Did he, Paul? He certainly did. The mother left the service immediately after we prayed for him. She left immediately. She did the insulin test. The next day, she took him to Portland, Oregon, and she took him to the doctor there, and they did tests, blood tests and things. They could find no trace of sugar diabetes in that child. She came back the next night after that. It was 2 days later. She came back, and she told us what the Lord had done. Isn't it amazing? And see, we need to be coming together in unity and flowing together. There are people hurting that are coming in. You know, in that particular church, they went out into the streets, didn't they, Paul? And they brought people in from the streets and everywhere else that were that had any diseases or whatever. And you know, the Lord moved sovereignly and healed and delivered. It was awesome. And the places that we go, God moves in that direction. Moves in ways we've never seen Him move before. Hallelujah. So it's a blessing. And I thank Glenn and Irma for the opportunity to come down here and to minister. I don't get down here all that much, but the times I come, I count it as a privilege to come here and to minister. And I know them. I've known them for a number of years. And the Lord has given them the vision for this, to bring people, I believe, to bring people into unity, to see them set free, see them delivered from those things that bind them. And it's been a blessing. I've sat here myself and received a lot of deliverance myself in this camp now.
I see a storm. A whirlwind within. And you've whipped, look to me. And you have whipped yourself.
Yes.
And you have punished yourself mentally. But the Lord says the victory He gave you when you first said yes is going to be accomplished today.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
These things that God has given you to move on and to see the anointing of the Spirit of the living God work in you. There's been a stronghold in your mind that's warred against you. The Lord says, I've given you power to pull it down. It'll no longer bind you. The Lord says today is releasing you totally from it. And the Lord says you will magnify Him every day. And when the thing comes to torment you again, you're going to speak to it. And you're going to say, you're not going to torment me here no more. You don't dwell here no more. And you will not allow it to come, for the change will come with the anointing. And the Lord will break that stronghold in you. Father, I loosen him right now. I speak this word into his spirit, God, in his mind. The stronghold, Father, be brought down because you've given him warfare weapons that are mighty through the name of Jesus. I release you today. In the name of Jesus, I break this stronghold. And I release you, Phil. This thing's been tormenting you for too long now. I loose you. Stir up the gift within you.
Yes.
And you whip yourself because it's binding to you. But God, today is breaking the chain. Today is that day for you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I release you in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Take it, brother. Stir up the gift that is in you.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
The anointing of the Lord today is going to break that in you. You've been told by many that you would amount to nothing and you'd never come up. And you've been spoken those words of rejection into your spirit, but today I loosen you from that. You'll no longer look at yourself as inadequate, for the spirit of inadequacy would no longer operate within you. For I break it from you. The Lord has a call on your life. As it is written, you've been called to be a person of purpose. You will no longer look at your inadequacy and your weakness. You will look to the wisdom of God.
Yes.
And the Lord will break every yoke of bondage in you. You will not walk along as a failure any longer. The anointing of the Lord be upon you.
Yes.
You will astound the people for the anointing. The Lord says it's going to anoint your hands for healing. It shall begin to flow out of you. And you shall see the glory of the Lord. Purify yourself this day. Break bondages from the things that have bound you. In the past, there's been pornography and things that have entangled you. The Lord says you must let go.
Yes.
If you want to see the glory and the power of God working, the Lord says today's purification.
Yes.
And the anointing of the Lord will do it.
Yes.
You will set yourself free, for the anointing shall arise from within. Stir up. Be a Timothy. What's your name?
Mike.
Mike, today the anointing of the Lord loosens you and sets you free in the name of Jesus. Be set free.
Thank you.
I love you.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Brother, Lord said that as the brother was ministering, but I just saw, I know you're going for a grandchild. The Lord said, you're going to set this child on your lap. And you're going to teach this child the things of God. And this child should become a warrior.
And this, and the Lord says for you, even if the parents won't, the Lord said for you to just raise him up before him. And the Lord said it's his child. And he's going to do the work. And it's through this child that a family is going to be changed. Through this child.
Praise
Hallelujah. Praise Hallelujah. Praise Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you now today. Lord, we lift up holy hands before you. Lord, as you've spoken through your servants, Lord, let your word be true, and yes, let it be amen. Lord, we thank you for the words that come forth even this afternoon and again this evening and tomorrow, Lord. Let your word so penetrate us, Lord, to change us. Lord, prepare us as your people. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Bless the food now. Bless the meal that we're about to partake, Lord. And we thank you that it's a sanctified meal, Lord. That will no way or no harm will come to us in any way. Lord, bless Tony as he's prepared, Father God, over the stove there. Lord, as he's prayed over the meal, Lord God, we thank you for that. Bless those women, Lord, who have come here today, Lord, to serve us, Lord. And they've taken on the servant's heart, Lord. Bless them, Father God. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
hands. Come on, sisters, worship the Lord tonight. Lift up your hands and praise. Let's magnify him tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. And we magnify him. There's no God as awesome as our God.
Hallelujah.
And so, Father, we lift you up tonight.
Hallelujah.
You're the lifter, Father, of our hands.
Yes.
And so we magnify you, Master.
Yes.
We thank you for the anointing. Lord, we glorify you.
Hallelujah.
Lord, be magnified in our lives,
yes,
Father. In our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits, in our families, Father. Father, we thank you tonight. We worship you, Master. Hallelujah. We praise you, my Lord. Glorify yourself. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.